I accept the fact that we haven't got stacks of people here, but we're going to start anyway. It is a little bit cold outside, even though the sun is shining. The morning makes us think it's going to be warmer than it is once we step outside. The warmth comes from inside. So welcome to all. Welcome to all the mothers, people who help mothers, people who support mothers, people who say thanks to mothers. Everyone here today, and on the other side of the camera, welcome to our service at the Vines. We have got beautiful weather. Whether or not it's going to continue, you like that, that would be important, but that's okay. Chloe wants to say something.
Okay, so I would like to wish all the mothers here a very happy Mother's Day, and including my mom. So if they are a mother and their kids are not here, they should still have a great Mother's Day. And we will also wish for David Pryor to give him some love.
Words of wisdom from a young lady. On a different level, can I just put out there that today is the beginning of Volunteer Week. Volunteer Week is a chance for us to say thanks to volunteers, all those things that wouldn't happen if it wasn't for volunteers, and how much our lives are enriched by volunteers, how much our lives are enriched by being a volunteer. Volunteers for nothing. They do it with nothing coming into their wallet or to their credit card, just because they want to do it because they love it. Volunteers are amazing. Ian is with us today, and as you probably know, after reading your grapevine, which we studied so assiduously, oh no, Colin's not here, I don't have a phrase, that's okay. No, we do, it is a good Colin. And his theme today is passionate worship. So, last Saturday, I was deliberating about the songs, not last Saturday as in, you know, 7 or 8 days ago, I was deliberating on the songs for today, and I watched King receive his crown, and one of the things that the berobed priest said was, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You'll sing that song. So we're going to sing that song first, okay? Standing up, let's go. Just tip your head back a bit. So, But you tip your head back, oh Lord. Think of that picture of John Farnham when he's standing with his back, Lord. Okay, but you're much better than that, okay? So when we get to that part, oh Lord, tip it back. Was that a toothpaste stand? Oh yeah, the flipped off head, that's right. There used to be the ad for the flipped off head. We'll do it twice again, Ben.
Take a seat for a moment. We know that when we watch the news on the television, there's usually a lot of red. And it's red fire, it's blood, it's embarrassment, and it's financial statements that are all got red in them or on them. It's nearly all bad news. And for some reason, it makes compelling viewing. Which is why the TV stations included in the news bulletins or on the newspapers. But the world is not really like this. After God created the world a long, long time ago, however long it was, God said it was good. It was very good. And that's still true today. And there's a lot of good news that we don't hear about on our televisions. And so to counter some of the bad stuff that we're usually bombarded with, I'd like to try something a bit different this morning. And so I want to know if anyone's got any good news that they'd like to share. And I know that not everything that happens in our lives is good. But just for now, let's hear your good news. I'm sure there is some. So who wants to begin? Just call it out. Yes. And we should not be, maybe we are surprised that we did. We woke up. I'm just going to write these down. Chocolate. Good news, we've got chocolate to share.
Last Friday I celebrated 50 years in that
way. Right. Adrian celebrated last Friday as in 2 days ago. Yeah. 50 years in Adelaide. It's Mother's Day, yeah. Sorry. You bake. Sorry, say that again. Oh, biscuit bake off. Yeah, you had a biscuit bake off. Did you get to eat them? I hope so. Chloe. You made a chocolate...
An acrostic.
An acrostic poem.
Is it Mother going down? Is it Mother going down? Excellent.
Yeah, for Mother's Day.
Great work. Done on that.
The roadworks are done. If you live on Regency Road, it's still not done. Any more? There's food on the shelves in the supermarket. Yeah. You've got one already, have you? Oh, all right. Free Sunday mail from the vines. Well, if you're one of the lucky 170 people. Yeah, okay. You can go shopping and you can get food, yeah. Right. Hope. You passed them.
That's forever. There'll be another one, but that's forever.
Yeah. Peter.
Must be getting nearer a good rain.
Sorry.
Getting nearer a good rain.
It's rain. Getting nearer a good rain. Yes. My brother on the farm said that he's planted about half his feed and he's just, you know, he's got to fix a water leak in a house, but once he's got that, then he'll plant the rest whether it rains or not.
I'm grateful but, that I've got Christy and Sally and Ben to come up here and clearly it's not just me on my own.
Yeah? Okay, well... Well, thank you for sharing those. Let's bring these good things to God as a sacrifice of praise. So let us pray. Almighty, loving, good God, we can get, that's a good God, we can get so bound up in gimme gimme prayers that we forget to praise you for your many gifts to us, the gifts of creation and life, of joy and hope, of faith in Jesus your Son. Forgive us if we've become complacent or demanding or proud and haughty or haven't given you the time to say, thank you, Jesus. And so today we thank you for the fact that we woke up and we got here. We thank you for chocolate that sweetens us and tastes great. We thank you that Adrian's been here 50 years in Adelaide. We thank you that today is Mother's Day and we remember that we've all got or had a mother and we thank you for what mothers do. We thank you that we can cook and make biscuits. We thank you that we can, as part of remembering our mother, we can make a Mother's Day acrostic. We thank you that some roadworks are finished. We thank you that there's food on the shelves in the supermarket and that we're not hungry, but we're well fed and we're not at war. We thank you that the vines can give some free Sunday mails out to some people. We thank you that Hope passed a maths test and that it's getting closer to a good rain and all that that will be and do for the soil and for the farmers waiting for that. And we thank you that Rob's got Sally and Christy and Ben here helping. God of grace, as we come to you to worship and adore you for who you are, in all your wonders and mighty acts of salvation and new life. For you give us so much more than we can ever hope to receive or understand. And yet in humility, we are so bold and confident in your wonderful grace that we come now to receive from you also forgiveness and love and hope and peace. And so hear the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, truly, we worship an awesome God. So let's stand up as you're able and let's sing again, because our God is an awesome God.
Come on. Good morning, everyone. Just a happy Mother's Day to all nannas and caregivers, mothers, grandmothers, great-grandmothers, great-great-grandmothers, and so on and so forth. Just a reminder that Purely Prayer is on every Tuesday morning at 9:15 in the library, and all requests sent through the prayer chain will be included, or you can personally email your requests to Fiona. We are in urgent need of someone willing to take on the role of property conveyor. This isn't a one-person job, but rather a team of people who will help with things, but a conveyor is needed to delegate tasks. If you would be willing to fill this role, please talk to Leon. Packing day plans for this year are commencing, with Sunday the 4th of June to Wednesday the 7th of June being the days set to pack. On Sunday the 14th, 21st and 28th of May, there will be boxes in the foyer for donations. There will be lists on the boxes of things you can donate. Thank you to everyone who has been donating to the Food Parcel Ministry. There are lists of items in the grapevine that you can donate to this cause, such as tea, cereal and tinned goods. All donations are much appreciated. Thank you.
I have some information about David Pryor. We've heard from David's son Isaac during the week, and Isaac said that his dad is still on a ventilator and in ICU and is likely to be there for quite some time. His doctor believes that he will improve, but to what degree and in what time frame, he doesn't know. And it's going to take him a long time for him to recover. It seems that when people are recovering from Guillain-Barre syndrome, they often get better, get sick, go better, and so on it goes. So there's a bit of up and down. But David is relatively stable now, and the fact that he was so fit to begin with is also been a good thing in his favour. We want you to continue to pray for David to bring him healing and strength. And the family are thankful for your continuing prayers and for the card which they received from the Vines. And now it's over to you.
Already. Well done. Thanks, guys. Well, if you didn't know already, it's Mother's Day today. Did you know that?
Yeah.
You made breakfast for me. Yes, you did. I was very spoiled. I know it's Mother's Day because I've been very blessed by my family. It's pretty nice that we can have a day just to celebrate mums, isn't it? Let's see if I can ask you a question. What do mums do? Do you know? Do you know the things that they do? What do you think? Why are we celebrating mums?
They help us with things.
They help us with things. Cool. Anybody else?
Take care of us.
Why else are we celebrating mums?
They keep us safe.
Keep us safe. I would draw, but these are hard things to draw. And I'd be there for a very long time. This is a great list, though. We could probably keep going if we had more time, but... They turn a house into a home. Aw, that's a lovely one. Turn a house into a home. There we go. Well, I think that there's probably this special day because mums do like to be appreciated. And in fact, I think everyone probably likes to be appreciated when they put effort in and they do things, don't they? Everybody likes that, doesn't they? Don't they? Do you know, and we do that for mums, but we don't just have to do it on Mother's Day, do we? We can do it any day of the year. Everybody likes to be appreciated all the time for all the things that they do. It is a special day. But do you know, there's someone else who likes to be appreciated for the things that he does for us. Can you guess who it is?
God. Jesus.
Jesus also, yeah. God loves it as well. He actually says in the book of Acts that we are all God's children. Now, God gave us earthly parents, and they're important, but God is our heavenly Father, and we are his children. He does lots of amazing things for us every day, doesn't he? In fact, I think that God probably does some of these things on the list too, doesn't he? He loves us. He takes care of us. God made us. He helps keep us safe. He cares for us. Just like he does for the flowers and the birds, he provides everything we need. We can actually show our appreciation to God as well. Yeah, we can. We have days like Christmas and Easter, and sometimes we do communion to help us remember the things that God did for us. But we can worship God anytime, every day. Did you know that? Yeah, we can sing, we can pray, we can do actions, we can do words, we can give him gifts, we can spend time with him. There are so many things we can do to help God know that we appreciate everything he does for us. We can praise him all the time. And I know that he would appreciate that. He loves it when we worship him. Shall we pray? Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for being so worthy of our praise and our worship. Thank you for mums, and thank you that you love us so much and that you are a great heavenly father to us every day. Thank you for always keeping your promises. We want to praise you, honour you, and worship you always. Amen. Thank you. Now you can take this page back to your seats if you like. There's some more ways to worship God on it if you want to colour that in. There you go. Chloe's got jobs to do. There you go.
This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It doesn't have to be a light, it doesn't have to be a globe, it doesn't have to be, it can be this light, it can be all kinds of things. So let's just sing. Standing up, come on!
This little light of mine.
A reading this morning is from Psalm 149, the first five verses. Please take note of verse 3, Rob. There's some good suggestions for our morning service. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the faithful. Let Israel be glad in its maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody with him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with victory. Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Ross. The minister's five-year-old daughter noticed that her mother always paused before she prayed, and before she started her sermon. And one day, I keep turning this thing off, and one day she was very pleased to hear that her daughter had noticed this. And so she said to her, "Honey, why did you do that?" the daughter asked. "Well, honey," she began, proud that her daughter was so observant. She said, "I'm asking the Lord to help me preach a good sermon." "So how come he doesn't, she's asked. Ah, dear. I'm still Ian Kira, I'm still part of the team here. And I'd also like to welcome you all formally. And we're glad that you're here or worshipping online. Hi. But I'd like to pray at this point too, so let me do that. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The first rule in preaching is this: don't be boring. Theologian John Stott said in his commentary on the book of Acts, it is right, well, just go a couple, can you, Ken, please, while I get this out and plug it in, turn it on. It is right in public worship to be dignified. It is unforgivable to be dull. So yes, things in worship should be done decently and in good order, but worship should never be dull and boring. And there's something in us that yearns to worship. We know that some people worship sport or money or themselves or their family. And some people worship their God, Father, Son, and Spirit, the Maker, Saviour, and Sustainer. And as we heard, Psalm 149 begins, praise the Lord. And it goes on to talk about singing and being glad and rejoicing and dancing and making music and singing for joy. There's nothing dull there. Worship for the psalmist is active and enthusiastic, or in other words, it is passionate. In his book, Five Practices of Fruitful Congregations, a guy called Robert Schnees reminds us that without passion, worship becomes dry, routine, boring, and predictable, keeping the form while lacking the spirit. Passionate worship is alive, authentic, fresh, and engaging. Now, in some traditions of the Christian church, it is easier to be passionate. It's easier to be passionate worshippers in some kinds of churches. People readily wave their hands about and they dance about and they clap their hands and they shout out encouragements to the preacher. Back when I visited some American churches a few years ago, I was hoping that at least one of those churches would be an over the top with their passion and their enthusiasm in their worship. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and I suspect it's because we didn't go far enough south. Now, some people, on the other hand, are naturally less exuberant in worship and they're more reserved. Their hands never get above, well, their waist, let alone their shoulders or their head. They never raise their hands or shout, "Amen, sister," or "Preach it, brother." For some people, worship is predominantly an internal, intellectual exercise within the ordered and bordered bits of the brain. And there are lots of ways to worship. It doesn't all have to be filled with bodies dancing and making music with tambourine and harp or percussion and piano and voices. Nor does it have to be a totally intellectual exercise. Worship may be, as in John Stott's description, dignified, but it must never be dull. Because dull worship kills churches. They don't survive, they aren't fruitful. And there's also more to worship than singing and sermons. There's also scripture, thanks Ross, and prayers, and silence. And there's offering, and there's communion. There's fellowship before and afterwards, and during. And so we gather for corporate worship, and then we scatter to be the people of God in the world. Now, sometimes worship is spontaneous. Sometimes it is thoughtful and considered, very well prepared. Sometimes it's not. But worship is all of this and more. Good worship is filled with the Spirit's power. That's why you have to lean back and... Is that right, Rob?
Sure.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. But as we heard, Psalm 149 begins with that excited imperative to praise the Lord, because it's both an invitation and a command. We're invited to praise, and it's a command. You know, praise the Lord. And when we wholeheartedly praise God, when we respond to this command, this invitation to celebrate how great is our God, with passionate words and lively song and energetic movement, or whatever, you know, we are worshipping in spirit and in truth. When your favourite football team is playing well, when their energy levels are up and the fire in the belly is greater, then they're more likely to win and win well. And we've seen some teams do that already this weekend. But afterwards, it's time for passionate celebrations. There's energy and enthusiasm and joy amongst those who worship around the oval. And there's a united passion, and there's encouragement for everyone to be a part of that. But wouldn't it be great if that was the spirit of our worship? If we had the passion of the Crows' 19th man on a day when they actually win. Maybe it'll be today. Now, what will this place sound like if we could sing like the Barmy Army from England do at an MCG Boxing Day Ashes cricket test, you know, when the MCG is filled with 100,000 people? What would happen if we also recited the Lord's Prayer with our whole being, like we really meant every part of it, instead of using quiet, gentle, prayerful voices? In Psalm 149, we have this call to worship that was written just for us this very day. It's a call to praise the Lord and to worship passionately. Remember, it is right in public worship to be dignified. It is unforgivable to be dull. And here's another reason for passionate worship. It's not just because we're invited and commanded to praise the Lord. Verse 4 of Psalm 149 says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in his people." Think about that. God likes us. God delights in us. God takes pleasure in us when we worship. And verse 5 says, "Let the faithful exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their couches." Think about that. Yeah? There's a sense of peace and comfort and safety implied in that, of having nothing to fear, with God sustaining the saints, and that's us, so we can sing praises even while we're lying on our beds or our lounge room chairs. Perhaps you're watching this at home doing that. Eugene Peterson paraphrased verses 3 and 4 in the Message Bible with these words: "Strike up the band and make great music." And why? Because God delights in his people, festoons plain folk with salvation garlands. We might think we're nothing. We're nobody important. And yet God delights in us. God loves us abundantly and wholeheartedly. And our response is to give back to God with passionate worship. Because the purpose of music in worship is to connect people to God. Well, it's one of the reasons why we sing, isn't it, Rob? The purpose of music in worship is to connect people to God. I wonder if any of the grandparents here today are planning to spoil their grandchildren by taking them out somewhere this afternoon, or perhaps it's the other way around. Perhaps you're being taken out by your grandchildren somewhere this afternoon. And when you see them, will you dote on them? Will you lavish love on them? Do you want the best for them? Of course you do. But that's how God loves us, unreservedly and passionately. So do you believe that? It gives us great cause to have passionate worship, because God takes delight and pleasure in us. God gives us a couch on which to rest and invites us to sing for joy. It is right in public worship to be dignified. It is unforgivable to be dull. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, had this to say about worship. Paul said, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Colossians 3, 16 and 17. In Paul's view, it doesn't matter by what, what we sing or how you sing. It matters whether you do it with gratitude or not. They might be psalms, hymns or spiritual songs. Doesn't matter. It's how you do it that matters. And worship is not defined by what we say or do or sing. Worship is not defined by where we do this. Worship is not defined by our style or context or companions or mode of preaching. Worship is defined by our attitude, whether or not we are grateful to God. You know, the biggest danger we face in worship is that we come here expecting to get something out of it. So much of our life is filled with wanting to be entertained, expecting that somebody's going to do all the work for us. Well, we may get something out of today. Hope you do, in fact. But that's not the real point of worship. The main point in worship is that we praise the Lord. That is, we are grateful for what God has already given us, and we come to him with thankfulness, to be passionate in our praise, to honour God through the Son, empowered by the Spirit. In other words, we are to give to God what is God's worth, our worship. See, when we truly place our focus on God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit, our worship becomes vital. It becomes vibrant. It becomes passionate. And what makes worship dull and boring is not the style of music or the flow of the service, or lack of flow for that matter. Worship is boring when it is no longer about God, but when everything points to God, when everything points us to God as Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and helps us to know God and understand God and worship God. That's when worship is true and passionate. Robert Schnees says that in a mindset of expectancy, worshippers discover that God wants a relationship with them and seeks to say something through the time together. He goes on to say that passionate worshippers expect God to speak to them while they experience God's presence, forgiveness, hope, or direction. So the second rule of Christian worship is this. In the words of Paul, let the word of Christ dwell in you. In other words, worship is about our relationship with Jesus. So what makes worship memorable is when we have such a focus on God that we learn something new about our relationship with God through Jesus, or can cling on to some truth about God. Public worship may or may not be dignified, but it must never be dull. And here's another reason for passionate worship. As we heard in the beginning of Colossians 3, verse 16, it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, etc." The Greek word translated there as richly means an overflowing abundance. It's like a River Murray flood, an abundance of water that spreads out over the banks so, because the banks can't contain them. And so, as Paul puts it, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and sing and so on. And Jesus said in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine and you are the branches." And so, as Robert Snaith puts it, worship connects the branches to the vine and keeps people connected to the source of life and helps them grow in Christ. Because we're connected, then everyone has a role to play in fostering passionate worship. So, do you want passionate worship? Then let the word of Christ, fill you so full that you burst. Let the joy of God fill you so abundantly that people ask, "What do you want?" Well, not some artificial drug, but the Spirit of God working through us. So worship God in whatever way you like, using whatever words or kinds of songs that you like, whatever instruments that you appreciate. But do it all with an overflowing attitude of gratitude for the blessings of Christ. And it won't just be your experience of worship that changes. It'll be your very life that is transformed. Now, so far, I haven't really said anything about the location or the place where we worship. And if you think about the photos you've seen as backgrounds on the screen this morning, I wonder if you noticed something. Because some of them, the first eight in fact, were taken inside places like this, in what we think of as a place of worship. There were big spaces and not so big spaces. There were old cathedrals and there were modern boxy warehouse-like spaces. There was one which looks like a picture theatre, a modern auditorium. But the last few photos have been taken outside with gardens and landscapes and vistas. And there's a point to make about these differences, and it's this. Passionate worship is something that must extend way beyond the building. It's something that must be taken beyond the Sunday morning experience in a building, out into the rest of the week. Because in future, worship has to become more portable, more mobile, and be on the move. Passionate worship must go out to wherever people live and work and play. And whether that's at Uluru or Kakadu or on a tropical beach in North Queensland at sunrise or crossing endless sandhills of the arid Simpson Desert, passionate worship goes with us up to the Flinders while we're sitting around a campfire or looking up at the stars of the Southern Cross, or riding a donkey in Jordan. Passionate worship takes place in Jerusalem, and in London, in Venice and Paris, and during the coronation of a new earthly king. Robert Snaith writes, "God in Christ changes people's lives through passionate worship. Worship stirs people's souls, inspires them and strengthens them. They find such help and courage and belonging and care that they cannot help but talk about it during the week." So how about it? Imagine that your worship, wherever and whenever that happens, is so passionate that you have been stirred and inspired and strengthened to find help and courage and care, so that you can't help yourself. You just have to talk about it with other people. But in your talking and in your doing, you live out the life and love of Jesus Christ. So when we gather for worship, whether there are 2 or 3 or 203 or 2003, may it be with such gratitude for God that our worship overflows with passion and sustains us and others all week. I wonder, do you think you can do that? Because with God's help, we all can. Remember, it is right in public worship to be dignified. It is unforgivable to be dull. Let us pray. Holy God, creator and sustainer of our life, we worship you. We rejoice in your love for us, and we rejoice in the gift of Jesus, your Son. Help us, we pray, to be passionate worshippers, to be inspired, encouraged, strengthened and equipped to share Jesus with dignity and passion, with excitement and joy, and with such a boundless love for Jesus as our Lord, that we are always ready to tell of his wonders and of his love for all humanity. In his name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to sing a song about God's amazing grace.
Thank you, Ian, for your holiday snaps. They're impressive. Amazing grace. I think we might stand and sing this, eh?
It's my turn to lead the intercessory prayers. I struggle to find the words, and I usually pray, Lord, what should I pray? I am conscious that God knows our needs before we do and meets us in those needs, whether we recognise it or not, and is gracious in doing so. I try to resist a shopping list kind of prayer. So this week I was reading through Leslie Brant's book, Psalms Now. So it must be the morning for Psalms, I think, because I came across a prayer that is a psalm, but is a prayer, and it caught my attention. And so this morning I'd like to share that and then add some prayers for our community. But I ask you to really listen to these words, because God chooses to use us to do his will. So let's pray Psalm 72. O God of love, grant to your children, we pray, the grace to represent you effectively in our discordant world. Give us the courage to put ourselves on the line to communicate life and truth to all your creatures wherever they may be found. Where there is injustice, may we diagnose its cause and discover its cure. Where there is bigotry, teach us how to love, we pray, and how to encourage others to love. Where there is poverty, help us share the wealth that has come from your hand. Where there is unrest and violence, help us be peacemakers that lead men and women to your eternal peace. Help us, O God, to become what you have appointed and empowered us to become. Where there is darkness, may we become rays of your sun that banish the gloom from lonely lives. Where there is emptiness and drought, make us like gentle showers that turn barren deserts into green meadows. Where there is ugliness and distortion, enable us to portray the beauty and order of your will and purposes. Great God, you are in our world. Your majesty is reflected in your creation around us. But there are multitudes who do not feel your concern or acknowledge your love. Is it because we have failed to carry out your command and commission? Or that we have yet to sense the significance of our own salvation and the purpose of our mission? Forbid, O God, that we be deaf to the cries of the poor or indifferent to those who have needs. May we identify with those who are oppressed and help bear burdens for those who suffer. May we hear your voice of concern and feel your loving touch, and as your servants in this world, make you known to people around us. The glory is yours, O God, and we shall praise your name and celebrate your cause together. Great and glorious God, giver of life, sustainer and redeemer, we come humbly before you this morning as we reflect upon our world and recognise how much it is not what you would have it be. You call us to love as you love, totally and unconditionally, without bias or favour. You are the one who gives us hope in this often frightening world. You help us to see beyond what is and give us the courage to look ahead and trust you for the journey. And so we pray for all those who are in positions of leadership, gracious God, wherever they be, We would pray that they might lead with integrity and consider the needs of their constituents over and above power, prestige, and control. O Lord, what the world needs now is love, your kind of love. And we thank you that there are so many who indeed share your love as they give of themselves to make their small part of the world a better place, as they care for the lost, broken, and hopeless, bringing a little ray of sunshine to their lives. We would pray for our church community in this time of deep concern and anxiety for our minister David. We pray, O Lord, that he might make a steady recovery and be returned to full health in your time. And in this moment, we pray for ourselves and our loved ones who are struggling. May your gracious, gentle, loving hand be on all those who suffer physically, mentally, and emotionally. For these we pray and ask that you would restore hope and a renewed sense of your presence as they continue through these challenges. On this special day when we celebrate mothers, we thank you for all those beautiful, nurturing women in our lives who have helped us to understand the complexities of life and have been role models for us as we have taken our place in the world. At the end of each day, help us to reflect on those special moments when you have touched our lives. Remind us that there is a light in the world and the darkness can never extinguish it. Help us, we pray, in your grace, to be bearers of that light and hope in these troubling times. Remind us anew that you have chosen us to be bearers of your grace and love wherever we are. Community of Christ, who make the cross your own, live out the creed and risk your life for God alone. The God who wears your face, to whom all worlds belong, whose children are of every race and song. Let us join together now in the prayer which Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mark. To God be the glory. That sounds like a good name for a hymn, I reckon. Australian hymn book number 85. We're going to sing this song, and while we're singing it, something that hasn't happened for a long time, we're actually taking up the offering rather than passing it into the bag. So if the bag comes whizzing past you, you can drop something in. If you've already popped it into the basket at the top, at the front of the church, that's okay too. Or is it the back of the church? I never really know. Let's sing, let's go for it.
Thank you.
for these offerings that we have for you. And whether we've given electronically or whether we've given them today into the offering basket or bag, we pray that they might be used to bring wisdom, hope, joy, and the glory of God to share with the world and with those who heard. May they know your peace. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, some of you may be wondering what this is for that you got on the way in. And you might be celebrating Mother's Day with your family, or not. But while you're thinking about mothers, or while you're doing whatever it is you're going to do for the rest of the day, going to a footy perhaps, I invite you to take this little love heart and give it away to someone. Give it to a family member, give it to whoever you like, stranger, someone down the street. And as you give them this small symbol of God's love, pray that God will bless them and even inspire them to worship passionately. And remember too, the Bible verse on it from 1 John 4, verse 19. We love because God first loved us. And if Mother's Day is difficult for you, and I know it is for some people, remember that God's grace and love and forgiveness is still there. It's here for us all. And so you might want to keep the little love heart for yourself as a reminder that God loves you even when you're hurting. So in our joy and in our pain, may we always be reminded of God's love for us and give thanks to God for that, and may we always worship passionately. And if you want prayer at the after the service, come down the front, someone will pray with you. And as you go, perhaps after we've sung our benediction song, then you might want to also remember to say thanks to people as you go. You might want to pass the peace amongst them again as you leave. But let's sing our benediction song.
Keep.